Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. A fabulous sales department that works with you. You know, trade-ins, obviously invaluable. And also a service department to back it all up. Great work on an everyday basis. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Thomas Frank Carr from Blue White Illustrated in a moment. Michael Barkan, final half hour. But first, our play-by-play call of the day, a hero named Tyler.
Squirts out to Tyler. Kick ahead. That ends up being a three. That was a kick-ahead pass to Jimmy Butler that went in. Tyler Hero is out of his mind. Making shots when he's not even trying.
Wow, that's ridiculous.
You know, it's like for example, when they go into the booth, the suit trips every time. The guy has the ability to do it without even trying. It's amazing, isn't it? What?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
All right, so yesterday I'm talking to James about tonight. You know, about a couple. There are a couple of things that we talked about yesterday. All right, and I said to him, I said, I'm going to do the show, and then I'm going to do the pregame show. He goes, well, yeah, I got a police escort that gets me out there. Is it Monica, who's Monica, by the way, she's tremendous and can't ask for a nicer person. And so she's from the police force, and he gets a police escort from practice out to the talk show. So I said to him, I said, hey, I got an idea. Can I borrow the police escort to get me from the field over to the arena? He starts laughing. He says, really? I said, sure. I said, it'd be the first time in my life where the police escort was in front of me instead of behind me. So, oh, my goodness. It's not going to work out. I'm just, you know, Joe Putnam will start the game tonight, and I'll probably get there. I'm going to guess right around the 15, 16-minute mark, something like that. Because the pregame show I'll tape with James still tonight, and that takes about four and a half minutes. I mean, let's not pretend that, you know, was it last night? Chris Stoll came over last night. We did something on Facebook Live, and he says, so how's this going to go? I said, have you ever seen the show 60 Minutes? He goes, yeah. He says, this isn't it. All right. With that, we turn to Thomas Frank Carr, my old friend, from Blue White Illustrated, where he's doing and continues to do great work. T. Frank, how are you? Great to have you with us.
Oh, hearing all the sights and sounds of the shows bring me back, Steve. It's been a while. How are you?
You're getting the shakes. You're like, oh.
Some good, some bad. You know, that's how life is. But no, it's good to be back.
It's great to have you back. So let's start with quarterbacks. You've taken a long look at quarterbacks, you know, your career. So Sean Clifford, where do you see better, and what are some other areas as well?
He's gotten a lot better at post-snap diagnostics. I'm actually really impressed with what he's been able to do this season as far as diagnosing zone coverages specifically and then being able to find the right receiver in stride and hit those players. So that was a thing that he struggled with early in his career, and one thing that I think really paralyzed him last year was, you know, in those situations in a new offense, trying to do all of that and process his information and the other information. This year, so much more settled. So I think that he's become a very mature, capable quarterback of moving the offense down the field, and that's been the story of the season for me, is when Sean Clifford can put together a drive and make throw after throw after throw, Penn State's threatened to score points, and he's really been the engine of the offense. The biggest things are, you know, some of the – he's never been a great deep ball thrower in terms of specific throws. I think there are areas of the field he struggles with, and, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but the go balls at the end of the game against Michigan, he's never consistently hit that particular throw. But he is when he sees it and he can deliver the ball down the field, he's an accurate quarterback. But it's the second level throws against zone. So there's always an underneath window, and there's a second window that develops, and just the consistency of hitting those bigger throws to make those big time plays. You can remember the ones to Jahan Dotson, you can remember some of them to Keandre Lambert-Smith, but it's been too consistent that he's either missed those throws or hasn't taken them. And that's really one area where I think that's where you see some of the offensive problems, not just the receiver is not making big plays, but some of the times that they're not targeted in those situations.
So he has a chance if he wants, and this will be his call, to come back next year. If you were to sit down with him, what would you tell him?
So that's tough. To put good film out there for the NFL, he would need a good situation. Because the other part of the narrative about Sean Clifford that I think is pretty concrete and how teams attack him is that he doesn't play well under pressure, specifically when there's actually pass rushers that get to him. Now, he can break the pocket and run, and he's an athletic quarterback that can make people pay for playing single coverage against him by running with those underneath routes and all that stuff. So is he going to have the environment where he can operate an offense and win games and have sort of a better narrative heading into his NFL career? I mean, that is as much about the offense as it is about the individual player. And at that point, I think you've got to take a shot on yourself. You've got to believe in yourself. And, whether or not he does that at Penn State or if he does that anywhere else, the clock is ticking on his NFL career as a fifth-year player. I'm torn, truthfully. I'm very torn. I would have a hard time advising him. I think he should go to the NFL and give it a try because he can do all of those things on a practice squad, and he can work on all of those things full-time at that point, because I'm not sure, even if he comes back, he'll be a draftable player because of his age and because of, you know, what teams are looking for from a traits perspective and the overwhelming arm talent and all that stuff. He can't change any of that stuff. So I think that the best course for him might be to go and work on himself in an environment where he's a full-time professional.
So when you looked at C.J. Stroud, what did you think of him?
I was impressed with his ability to battle back from mistakes and from areas where he wasn't performing up to the standard. So I know the narrative coming in was he hadn't been pressured. He was playing 7-on-7 football for most of the season. And I know you and I sat down and had a conversation about Dwayne Haskins back in the day, same thing. Haskins did not respond in that moment. I thought Stroud responded well enough that he was able to win that football game, make some big-time throws.
Right.
All season, he's been throwing the ball high. That's the thing, is like he's a little bit less accurate than I think everyone was expecting.
And doesn't run.
And
people assumed he would run some. He doesn't run.
Nope. He is a pocket passer.
Yep.
I didn't think he was particularly great out of structure. He made some good plays, but it's not like he and that's an area I also give him credit, is that's a guy that wants to play from the pocket and win that way first.
Yeah.
But he does have to kind of add that element, I think. In the modern football game, there are very few players that win exclusively from the pocket, especially if you're not going to be a bang-on accurate quarterback that throws the ball precisely, because his receivers are doing a lot of the work. Jackson Smith and Jigba, and especially Garrett Wilson, some of those high balls that he's throwing, they're coming down with, and they're making big plays. And I'm not trying to overstate that he's been terrible. You know, I think everyone saw he played a good game. But it is as much the players around him as it is him, the quarterback. But when pressed, I thought he did respond, and that was kind of the difference in the game.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to look at Peyton Thorne yet? I mean, he played in here last year, and I liked him very much. But have you had a chance to even look at any tape of him, like the maybe even the Michigan game? What did you think?
Yeah, a little bit. Big Ten quarterback, you know, is kind of where my baseline was of, okay, so this is a guy that can operate in an offense.
Well, let me put it this way. In this conference is not the cradle of quarterbacks right now. So
exactly. Yeah, and he's been above average, so... He has more special traits than Cade McNamara. So, like, he'll throw the ball down the football field. Going back to the game against Michigan, Cade McNamara won the game throwing crossing routes. Like, he was not doing the heavy lifting for that offense.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, which
Peyton
is what
Ford will throw the ball down the field.
Essentially, what I said on Monday was the two best throws McNamara made in the game. The touchdown on the post to Wilson was one.
Yep.
And the second touchdown pass to Wilson. I thought those were the two best throws he made all day. Everything else, I was like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, he put the ball exactly where he needed to evade Joey Porter Jr. on both those plays. If you go back and you watch the replay, he threw the ball directly at the referee's head on the one-yard touchdown pass. So, I mean, he put it in a spot where the receiver wasn't. That anticipatory sort of throwing, that was a really good thing. And he put that on film throughout the year that he's not incapable of doing that.
Right.
It's just the offense isn't built to do that. On the flip side, I do think Peyton Thorne has more potential to win you a football game. He does a great job of feathering the ball downfield in the windows. I haven't done as much work on him, but obviously I watched the Michigan State game and I watched some of the stuff against other opponents throughout the season. And I was not expecting as much as I saw. So that is one thing I'll say about going into that game is when Penn State plays a good quarterback, the game is very much 50-50 because the defense is good and the defense can hold up against those teams, and we've seen them do that, but it's the offensive consistency to score points on the other side that has struggled and kind of lagged behind. I think everyone is aware of that. So when you play a good quarterback and they're going to make those timely throws, that does give the favor to the other team, which is certainly not the case this coming weekend.
Yeah, and that's not the case this weekend, no. And by the way, Thorne, a key cog for Michigan State and an unknown is Jalen Naylor, who was had in his hand in a cast, and they don't know if he's going to play. I doubt he's going to play, but not, you know, Reed's his guy. But you can focus on Reed when he's there. There's no getting around it. You did a nice piece on the Penn State defense earlier this week. Your thoughts on them, because they have put together a lot of really good performances.
It's just a shame because special coverage units, players that are special at taking the ball away, don't come around often. And to have those players together in the secondary, they've been legitimately great. And you'd love to hang on to them for another year and see if you can piece them together with a better offensive output. But, I mean, I know that they've given up some late touchdowns. And you have a true freshman in there. He's playing, you know, in a big moment against his home state team. And he gives up a touchdown that ultimately wins the game. I don't think that's indicative of Kalen King, and I don't think that's indicative of the defensive performance this season. But they have had those late-game touchdowns where guys have had coverage busts. But for the most part, they've been a special unit. And they've been tasked with going out and winning a lot of games. And they've come within a dropped interception of doing it several times. And I give players credit for getting to the football to begin with. If you don't come down with it as a defender, you should, like, that's the goal, right? But your goal is to stop the offense, and you did that by breaking up that pass.
Right.
So, you know, Brisker, Joey Porter Jr., is really the lights come on for him. Jair Brown has been a little bit more inconsistent, but his highs have been elite. So this unit, just in general, is one of the best I've seen personally. And if one of these guys isn't drafted in the first round in the NFL draft, I will start to believe the conspiracies against, you know, biases against schools that produce certain positions, because Jaquan Brisker is phenomenal.
I enjoy watching
him play football.
I mean, he stands side by side with me with Mark Robinson as the best safety I've seen here.
Yeah.
So let me give you slot corner is so important. What has Daquan Hardy meant as a slot corner in this defense?
I think whoever plays the slot is one of the more important players on the defense because they have to make your defense whole.
Yep.
And he has done that. He's been an elite single coverage defender that you feel comfortable and confident putting out there in almost any situation. Ohio State. I'm trying to think of the other games where he's made a huge difference.
Well,
Auburn. There was the one play in the slot, but he was great against Auburn too.
How about the Maryland game? Because they go all out blitz, they're cover zero. Brian Cobb's going down the middle, and he knocked it away. I mean, that's early in the game. It's a play everybody forgets about, but you're cover zero there, and he makes that play.
I would argue that he's been their second-best corner this year. Joey Porter Jr. has a tough job of being on the boundary and facing some of the best receivers, but the reality in college football is you can put a receiver anywhere you want anymore, so you're going to have guys that are the elite of the elite going into the slot, and Daquan Hardy has not been giving up passes in that area. So I think he's been their second-best corner. I think he's a phenomenal coverage player. I was really interested at the beginning of the season because of his size, and bringing in a guy like Johnny Dixon, who had some slot versatility previously in his career. Yeah. I thought maybe he might push for some playing time there, and Daquan Hardy shut the door on that.
Yeah,
and he has been just elite. But I also think that Curtis Jacobs has been doing a great job as their Sam linebacker.
Really good,
because that's the other half of it. If you can find a guy like him. To play at that position, you don't need to sub in your nickel corner as much, and you can be better against the run. And Jacobs, the nature of the position, he's going to give up some passes, especially out in the flat in certain coverages. But I think overall he has been an impact player at three levels of the defense, which is what his potential was that we all saw last year and then especially in the spring. And he's lived up to that. So that particular position between those two players that I kind of look at as co-starters at that area, it's been a huge benefit for Penn State in coverage.
I do have to close up by asking about a guy that's 7 yards away from 1,000, and that is Jahan Dotson. You mentioned Garrett Wilson. Mm-hmm. I think Garrett Wilson has had a phenomenal season. He's really good. The Bell kid at Purdue is really, really good, too. What do you think of Dotson?
Yeah. What do I think of him as a football player? Like, you mean like going to the next level?
Let's go next level.
I want him on my team. There's no way around it. There's just that's the end of the story. If you're an NFL team, you want Jahan Dotson to be on your football team.
Yep.
The question then becomes, do you build a passing offense around a guy like Jahan Dotson? And that is really the nuanced conversation of first round or early second round for me. Because, again, the testing numbers are going to be very important for Jahan. Because I don't think people believe the speed numbers, so he's going to have to back that up in the off season. But there's no way around that he's fast. Like, he's obviously fast. His ball control skills and his acrobatics in the air, I don't see anybody that matches him in that area.
The 86-yard touchdown pass against Maryland, when he breaks through everybody, that's where the speed showed up.
That's exactly right. Just one area that is, I think, is fair to point out, too, is if he doesn't have those man coverage situations and it's not a receiver's game where he can run routes and toast cornerbacks,
right.
if he has to break tackles, that is one area that I do think is a flaw in his game that teams are going to pick a part of. Okay, he's not going to be our wide receiver one because we can't put the ball in his hands at any point and he'll go 80. But we can put the ball in his hands in six different situations and he'll go 75. So, the complete profile, very few of those guys exist, but he will be just on the outside of that. There's no way around he's a phenomenal receiver.
Absolute pleasure having you back. You're doing great work over there.
Always good to be here.
Yeah, you're doing great work
thank
over
you.
There.
I appreciate
hope you're enjoying it.
Well, you got to when you make up your own job.
Thomas Frank Carr joining us on the show. T. Frank, thank you, my friend. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Yes, go on, please.
I was going to say, I do have to say, seeing as I'm here, Now that I'm hosting my own show, I have to say I didn't even realize how much I was learning from you in the moments I was learning from you. So thank you. I've learned a lot of lessons that I've taken on with me, and I wanted to give you your just credit for that.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you to even think about that, but you've done great on your own. But thank you.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your wonderful wife. That is...
I'll pass along the messages.
Please do. Thomas Frank Carr. Wishing happy Thanksgiving to Zoe and to Thomas Frank Carr. Of course, we wish to Mark and Luke and Lisa and Matt a week from today happy Thanksgiving. And to the suit, we asked the suit, what does Thanksgiving mean to him? And he said a day off. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
No good! No good! No good!
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, so Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. 90 minutes from now, I'll be over at the field. Journey Brown will join us in the opening half hour of the show. James Franklin, final half hour. And then as soon as I'm done with that, it's off to the Jordan Center where I'll join Dick Girardi for Penn State basketball at 7, and then, of course, Saturday, Jack Ham and I at Beaver Stadium, Penn State and Rutgers. 10:30 is the airtime. All right, let's get into the Eagles a little bit. Michael Barkan, who has just done great work forever with NBC Sports Philly, among others, and now Eagles postgame show. Michael, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Me and Mr. Jones. It is an honor and a pleasure, my friend. How are you?
It is great to hear you, Michael. I mean, geez, it's just too long since I've even talked to you, so it's great to have you on.
Way too long. Way too long. Will you tell Dick Girardi what a pair the two of you must be? Will you tell DJ that I said hello, please? I miss him.
You know what? Those Daily News live shows were phenomenal. I mean, really. And you know what? I know we're going to get to the Eagles in a moment, but there's a real skill to facilitating conversation. I'm talking to a guy I think that's an expert in that area, the ability to facilitate conversation, which you did on Daily News Live forever on that show.
Thank you very much. I just played the point as best I could. You know what I mean? I just try to deliver the ball and let the guys down in the paint do their thing. And Dick Girardi was definitely one of them, and it was a joy to work with him. Do you know anyone who knows more about more sports than Dick? For goodness sake.
No. And it's amazing. And then a horse is out there running, and he can tell you everything from chapter and verse
from the jockey to the trainer to the ankles to everything. It's unbelievable.
Yep. Oh yeah.
So I gotta ask you about.
Go ahead.
No, it's okay. No, he is the best. And look, you know darn well when you're sitting in a certain chair. I sit there on Saturdays with Jack Ham, and I sit there in basketball with Dick Girardi. I got it made. And I'll be the first to admit it.
It's a beautiful thing, my friend. It's a beautiful thing, you know. But I'll tell you what, you do pretty darn good yourself, pal. Let me tell you that. So.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that.
It's just
hey,
the
so
truth.
Let's get to the Eagles. Yeah, that means a lot, especially coming from you. I've got to ask you about the Eagles here to this point. It's an interesting year in the league where I feel like there's at the moment doesn't feel like there's a great team. How much does that now play into the Eagles season that there aren't a lot of great teams and they've been able to take advantage a couple of weeks?
Steve, I think it could play in significantly if they can take care of New Orleans, and I think that's also a significant if, but if they can take care of New Orleans and then they'd be 5-6 on the season, and you look at the remaining six games after that, you got the Giants twice, you've got the Jets. In fact, I think it's the first time ever, I could be wrong, but I think it's the first time ever that they've played at the Meadowlands in back-to-back weeks in the NFL during the regular season. But they got Jets, Giants, Giants twice, Washington football team twice. They do end with the Dallas Cowboys, but that is here. And who knows? I mean, if they got, if they had 10 wins, I think they might be a playoff team. The question is, are they really improving in all facets of the game, or is the competition a little bit less than what we thought? And I guess it matters not as long as you're winning, and they have been doing that back and forth, unfortunately, over the last several weeks. But when they've looked good, they've looked very good. And defensively, they actually came to play this past weekend, which was nice to see at Denver.
Michael, it's one thing to see a guy on TV like DeVonta Smith, but then you get a chance to see him in person. Now you've seen him in person for a bit. What's your impression of him?
He is a stud. I just, when I see a guy of that size, you know, Chip Kelly, the failed Eagles coach, now back in the college ranks again, Chip Kelly used to say, big guys beat up little guys, or words to that effect. And it's not always true, but I think in large part it's true. And DeVonta Smith might be one of those exceptions to the rule. I hope so. He's obviously in great shape. He's easily, I mean, he is just one big knot of muscle. But he's what? He's 5'8 or so, 5'9 or so. And he had a touchdown catch last weekend, which was a thing of beauty. Went and got the ball, brought it down, took it from the defender. Looked like he might have been out of bounds in the end zone, but he wasn't. And it was a play that you would have thought a larger, bigger receiver would have made, yet he made it. So the only thing that worries me is I watched DeSean Jackson get beat up in his years at Philadelphia. I watched him get into a major collision with a Atlanta Falcons defensive back and miss significant time. And I concern myself with DeVonta Smith. I think his tools are excellent. I think he's a really smart guy. And I think he's a dynamic player. What he's done has been amazing. He's what you expect your first-round pick to do, unlike Jalen Reagor the year before and other first-rounders under Howie Roseman. But DeVonta Smith's big thing to me is going to be, and he hasn't been injury-prone, but his big thing to me is, you know, you got to stay healthy in the NFL. Can't make the club in the tub. So I'm praying that happens for him because he's a special player.
Early in the season, a lot of throwing of the football, not as much with the running attack. There's been a better mix of late. Why?
I think the defenses of the teams that they have been playing were suspect against the run, and certainly Denver's was. Certainly Denver was missing some players, and that won't be the case with New Orleans. And I also think they were getting their brains beat in, and it's ridiculous if you're rushing the ball three times in a gosh darn game, Steve. I mean, three times.
Yeah.
It's an embarrassment. So I firmly believe that the run sets up the pass, and that if you have a quarterback who is really adept at play action, you set up that. Even if you don't do the run, if you've got a good play action quarterback, you can get guys to bite defensively. You know that well. And but they passed it all the time. And there really wasn't a rhyme or reason to me to their offense. And in Philadelphia, they let you hear about it, as you know, and they let Nick Sirianni hear about it. And I don't think that's the main reason that he responded, because if you start listening to the fans, you know what they say, soon you'll be sitting with them. But I do think that he wanted to balance the offense more. And in fact, if the rushing game really was needed, then he would go more with that. And I think that that's what he's done over the past three games. They've rushed the ball way more than they've passed the ball. And yet I still think they've had exciting, great pass plays. Certainly the Devontae Smith play was one of them. He hit Quez Watkins for a touchdown at the end of the first half, which Watkins dropped. It was a thing of beauty the way he just dropped it right in the bucket. And I think there is a balance. And running the ball, again, something that Penn State has done very well over the years with all those great running backs. Running the ball is exciting if you pick up yards, if you move the pile. Yeah. And that's what the Eagles have been doing. Now, here's the thing. The Saints' rushing defense is number one in the NFL.
Yep.
So it remains to be seen whether the Eagles will be as successful this Sunday.
And we'll see about Miles Sanders' situation coming up on Sunday as well. Jalen Hurts,
yeah.
What has the running attack meant to the play-action game for him? Because it looks like each week he is making a step up the rung of the ladder.
I was thinking about this as I was getting ready to driving into the studio, getting ready to talk to Steve Jones. And I was thinking, you know, we don't let players flourish anymore. We don't let players blossom anymore. Certainly in Philadelphia, that's difficult to do. And I would say in Major League Sports in general, we want to see stuff happen right now. And the fact of the matter is, it's a different game from college than the NFL for everybody. And I wonder what would have happened with any number of players that were highly touted that didn't make it big if they had just been given time to kind of grow into their roles, grow into the players that they could have been or that they were in college. And I think Jalen Hurts is the son of a coach. He talks like a coach. I don't care if they get their brains beat in or they beat Denver 30-13. He's real calm, cool, and collected. And he's passionate about the team, but I think that the running game has only made him deadlier as a passer. It's made the defense have to check whether or not he's going to keep the ball and run, which thankfully he's doing that. I guess he's probably doing it about the same, but he's averaging about 10 yards per carry, for goodness sake, which you might expect when you have a viable running back option. You know, it's been exciting to watch, and I hope he continues to mature. Look, I knew he was going to be the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles last year. I think it might have been his second start. It was a loss at Arizona playing against Kyler Murray, and this guy was phenomenal. And we came on the air for the postgame show, Steve, and I said, you've just seen the future of the quarterback position for the Philadelphia Eagles. And Ray Dittinger, Seth Joyner, and Barrett Brooks were like, man, you better take a load off because you're out of your mind. And I said, did you not just see what I saw? Did you not just see the way he threw the ball, the way he ran the ball, how calm he was back there? And he never panics. I'll give him that. He might get thumped, but he does not panic, that guy. So
no, he does not.
I'm interested to see the future, Steve, with him.
Yeah, me too. And I know I had a limited window with you, so I want to be courteous with that and make sure you get to your next assignment. It was great to have you on. I hope this is not the last time we have you on, because I always enjoy talking with you, Michael.
My friend, thank you. I apologize. I have the Flyers warm-up show tonight, and you know, all this is happening at the same time as it looks like Bryce Harper will win the National League MVP award, so we're trying to juggle a lot of different things. But I apologize for having to go, but if you would ask me back again, I would love to do the show again and shoot the breeze about anything you want. And again, my apologies for having a bolt.
Michael, you take care of business. We will talk soon, I promise you. Thank you. You're one of the best in the business.
Me and Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right. See you, Michael.
Yes. Yes.
Michael Barkham.
We will come back with more in a moment. I will pass along to DJ because, you know, Michael, you know, they did Daily News Live for years. And, of course, Dick did the show many, many times. And so I watched the show many, many times.
Me too. And I learned a lot from that show. I learned a lot from that show of how to have the conversation and how to talk about some of the big topics of the day. Like I learned so much from that show. I really did. I miss it.
So I asked the suit what Black Friday meant to him. And he said about $1 million a year contractually. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells founder.
You know, I asked the suit the other day what he was thankful for, and he said, me. I was like, that's just now how it's supposed to go. You know what we're dealing with here.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
So, what do you think? What are you thankful for? Oh, me. Okay. Great to have you with us on this Thursday. My broadcast day is not over. So a little more than an hour from now, I'll be at the field here at Talk Trees in State College. And from 6:05 to 7, we'll have the coaches show. Journey Brown will be on the first part of the show. James Franklin, the last part. Then I'm out of there and into the Jordan Center, where I'll join Dick Girardi for Penn State St. Francis basketball. Then on Saturday, I got football with Jack at noon, 10:30 the airtime. Then Monday night, basketball again, this time with Cornell at 6:30 on at 6. Don't forget, a week from Monday, the 29th, Santa takes over. The Magic Radio. What are we talking about, 80 years of doing this?
Over 80, I believe, now.
More than 80 years of doing this? And I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times in the show. It's, to me, what local radio should be about. It's been around 80 years because it connects with the community. It connects with kids. And it's just, you know, there'll be a point where little Luke and little Mark, you'll bring them in, and they'll be on the Magic Radio.
I'm very much looking forward to that.
I mean, and it's just so neat. I think I was talking with Chad Hershberger. And Chad has brought his kids in.
Yep.
And it's just their eyes light up, you know? It sounds just so great on the air that they're talking to Santa. And except for that one incident. Now, that's why we had to put the age limit in, because the suit kept showing up every year and bumping some kid off so he could ask for, you know, big ticket items.
No, senor! No, senor!
I'm like a horse farm. Okay. But fortunately, those acting lessons are paying off.
Oh, my almighty!
Hey, Bucknell's got their last game of the season coming up. We had Dave Jacchini on earlier. I talked with Nick Tarburton last night, and, of course, his brother is on Bucknell. And he talks to his brother all the time. His brother's had a really good season, you know.
He has, and he's been one of the lone guys that's been able to stay healthy, too.
And that's what Nick said, because Nick and I were talking about this last night, and I told him how I just talked to Dave Jacchini on Monday. And he said he's been one of the few guys that has been able to stay healthy. And I said, geez, Nick, when they lost the quarterback, he goes, oh, boy, he says, you're right. He said, when they lost the quarterback, it meant so much. You know, nothing against the guys that are playing now. But as I always tell everybody, I realize you have to have, quote, a next man up mentality. In other words, whoever is available to play has to play, and they got to play as well as they can. But as I always tell people, I said, but always remember, there's a reason somebody's starting. There are reasons guys start. Right? In other words, they did win the job for maybe a multitude of reasons. But I'm glad Nick's brother's doing well and having a really good year at Bucknell, even though obviously record-wise
It hasn't gotten, but it'd be amazing what it will do for the offseason. They go out and win on Saturday. How about that? Wouldn't that do wonders for the offseason? And Bucknell men's and women's basketball both won last night, which is great. When's your next game?
For Bucknell?
For anybody.
Oh, for anybody. It will be on Saturday for football.
Saturday for football.
Yep, Saturday nice. Bucknell football.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. Prerequisite for doing you the public address announcer?
Yeah.
Yeah, the prerequisite for that is to make sure you get the downs right. You'd be amazed. So,
I've been told that, yeah.
Oh. No words. Okay. no words. Oh. My goodness. So this Mel Tucker thing playing out is very, very interesting. So, but that's what happened. I'll tell you an area where it happened also for Michigan State is Dan Gilbert, who is the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. You go to Michigan State, and ironically, that's my next two road trips. I've got back-to-back road trips to Michigan State. I got football coming up a week from Saturday, and then you know a couple weeks after that, I've got to go back for basketball. The Dan Gilbert Center, which is now attached to the Breslin Center for Basketball, again, gives them all the bells and whistles. And that's what happens when you're able to get, you know, we talk about big donors and we talk about whales. Well, the guys that are kicking in money, you know, Matt Ishbia and one other guy that are kicking in money on Mel Tucker's contract, whales. Hey, Dan Gilbert, basketball, whale. That makes an incredible difference in any program. The more whales, the better. On the holiday invitation, mine said, save the date for my party. I didn't realize that, he took it over.
That I didn't know either. I must have missed that part of the drafted version.
Yeah, well, mine said, be there for my party. I mean, he does know it's illegal to use company funds, right?
I never know anymore. I just do my thing and that's it. What Roger happens on the other side of the building stays on the other side of the building.
Now, I realize he has a great law firm, Dewey, Cheatham & Howe.